It is in this we talk about the passing of another wrestler by his own hand. Sean O'Hare, suicide, 43 years young. Unfortunately, there is sometimes bad news on one of the most positive podcasts in wrestling, the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I seem to be in a wind tunnel. But let's check around to the rest of the panel. I will start with our West Coast participant, Ethan Muslin.
Ah, good evening, Nikki.
And our second would be our East Coast representative, Jason Block.
Good evening.
And all the way on the other side of the planet, Bad News Beeman.
Yeah, sorry, I think there is a wind tunnel because I'm on the beach, people! No, I'm just joking. I don't know where that wind's coming from.
It's not me. I'm indoors with the windows shut because I need a quiet night and a quiet podcast after hearing the passing of a wrestler that I did enjoy watching in the early 2000s. Sean O'Hare was part of a tag team with Mark Jindrak and part of the New Blood. Or Natural Born Thriller, sorry, with WCW, and was there until the bitter end. He was brought into WWE during the invasion as a tag team partner with Chuck Palumbo. And they actually had won the tag team titles and had the honor of dropping them to the Brothers of Destruction. So, the highlight, though, of Sean O'Hare's WWE career was the gimmick that they gave him. And Ethan, do you remember this Devil's Advocate?
Oh, very, very vaguely. This was coming around the time when I was starting to slowly wane myself of WWE before I finally came back.
All right. Shane, do you remember this?
I'm sorry, which one was that?
Sean O'Hare as the Devil's Advocate. He had a bunch of vignettes where he talked about, where he essentially tried to convince you to do wrong.
No, not really.
Okay. Essentially, he showed up in a dark suit, and he would talk about things in such a matter-of-fact way that he didn't think that it was good. You didn't have to pay your taxes. You didn't have to be loyal to your husband or wife. Little things like that, Jason.
Yeah. So he was the bad guy on your shoulder, basically. Say, hey, of course it wouldn't be because it was in 2001. But hey, send naked pictures to your girlfriend who you're cheating on. It's okay. Don't worry.
She'll laugh. Yeah, that kind of thing. The one epic thing I will always remember is he talked Brian Kendrick into streaking on a SmackDown. Where essentially they were making fun of a Nike commercial that was popular at the time of a streaker running across a soccer field.
Aha, yes.
So Brian Kendrick, in the middle of a match, comes running down the ramp, supposedly not wearing anything.
Flesh-colored thong, you think?
The flesh-colored thong, probably. Nothing else but a scarf and a pair of sneakers. Runs around being a doofus for about 45 seconds and runs away. The character that Sean O'Hare had created here was very, very good in pre-tape. He had a very long and unwieldy catchphrase that he had to try to force into the end of his promos. But hey, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Mm-hmm. So he had trouble getting it to it. He had trouble doing it live. The vignettes are amazing. Go look these up. He was with the Fed, I think, until 2004 or 2005. And after he left the Fed, he tried his hand at MMA and a couple of other things. It's only come out recently that he had been going through WWE-sponsored rehab for alcohol abuse. As recently as just a few months ago. And apparently, WWE was trying to get in touch with him recently, and he wasn't picking up the phone.
And if the reports are true, according to WrestleChat.net, 6 times in 6 years, which means, unfortunately, it wasn't working, you know?
No. And sadder still that, as I said, he took his own life, and his father found him and called 911, but it was too late.
Just, you know, and again, would you consider this one of the last vestiges of the drug era, or do you think this was just a case of not being able to handle life, for lack of a better term?
He had a lot of his own inner demons. I know that he had had some legal troubles. Stuff that we're here, you know, that is starting to crop up in the NFL, so it was going to be hard for him to find employment to begin with. Couple that with the injuries that he had sustained through wrestling and mixed martial arts, which would include and would not be limited to concussions. So I think this is just another casualty of the physical athletics of today. I would love to have Sports Legacy take a look at this. I want Sports Legacy to take a look and see what they find. I don't know if they're allowed to do this anymore because they are no longer funded by the NFL. Because the NFL went and found another round of yes men to do their concussion studies. But that's another show entirely.
No kidding. The NFL and Sports Legacy have parted ways, shall we say?
According to some of the later chapters in League of Denial.
Which, by the way, you the must, NFL, must read, must read, must read, must see. Just saying.
If you don't want to buy the book, Go watch the documentary on PBS. You know, if you think what's going on right now should have Goodell's head on a pike, this is even more icing on that cake. Yeah. But I trust the Sports Legacy Institute a lot more than I would anything that the NFL is giving money to.
Agreed. Oh, and by the way, Nikki, just a check. If you could just mute the soundboard, that's where I think is where the sound is coming from.
Oh, well, let's see.
There we go.
Yes, it is. I apologize.
Okay. So yeah, but this is just a sad case. Oh, kills me.
And it's just it's horrid. And again. Sean O'Hare was a wrestler I really enjoyed watching for the time that I did get to see him. He was the one out of a lot of the guys that came out of WCW at the end that I thought was going to be somebody. But
and in fairness, I think if he had, if he wasn't in a bad spot at the time where like the roster was so saturated at the time because you still had the big brand split and things like that, I think he probably could have done really well.
He was definitely an upper mid card. I thought he was upper mid card quality, and I just don't understand. You know, like I said, you're right. It was probably because there were so many people on the roster, and
it also kind of brings back to what you were talking about how his stuff was really good in pre-tape, but when in the live feed, just didn't really get over that well. I think that if he was able to perhaps work on it in the live feed. Just kind of if he flubs it, just run with it. Something to that extent. Probably could have done a little better.
I mean, you know, and I know that they still saw something in him if they were going to let him work with Piper. So I was, you know, that I was curious to see how that was going to work, and we only got to see that maybe once or twice, and then he was given the heave-ho. So, but yeah, Sean, I miss you already, man. But I'm not telling you anything you didn't already know. I never had the pleasure of meeting him. I did have the honor of getting blown off by him from a show.
Whoops.
That's okay. Okay. So, on to happier things. Raw was actually a step back in the right direction. For the most part. We had Jericho and Wyatt in an excellent cage match to open the show.
Yeah. Jericho, you're 43. You don't need to do that.
And just to correct you, man, you did that roughly 10 years ago, and we have the video to prove it. You even did the same damn shrug. Mm-hmm. While you're up there. Jump, jump, jump. Okay.
He didn't state that on Twitter, though. He's like, one of my friends told me, dude, you're 43. It's like, really? Is that my age? Couldn't tell.
And that's and I, he doesn't, still doesn't look it.
No, but definitely that was insane. We still love Jericho for doing it.
And the cage, by the way, they had a new cage design, which could have been a little dangerous later in the show.
Oh my God, Seth Rollins almost got impaled! Oh my God! He almost got stabbed in the back! Oh, yeah. God! Oh. Sorry, I'm sorry!
No, you're fine. The new cage... Yeah. Down.
I'm down.
Okay. And actually, no, I've got a better idea. I better do this right. Do. Press this button, followed by this one.
Calm down, Sean! Don't tell me to calm down! Nobody tells me that I don't know controversy. You gotta be kidding me!
But yeah, this was kind of dangerous. The new cage, I got to give him credit for this. The new cage is much better secured to the ring. The problem is I don't think the wrestlers are aware where some of these posts are because they're not all just over in the corners like they've been.
It's a 12-prong cage, three right. On each side.
Right, and there are prongs in the middle of each side to secure the central part, because you've seen how far those will rock with the older models, and the fact that I think RVD's fallen through one, and they had to think of how the rules were going to interpret that so they could keep the match going. But yeah, as part of the main event where they were attempting to get rid of Roman Reigns, and the fact that you keep kicking a Samoan in the head is not going to help your cause. If anything, you're going to break your foot. They lowered the cage, and Rollins threw a chair in, and where he was right where one of the pikes was coming down. And thankfully, the crew realized what was going on and did stop the cage so Seth could get out of there before he got run through. So it's nobody's fault on this one, really. This is a new cage, and usually when you're going into the ring to do something, you go up through the middle. So maybe they need to move the posts. Or maybe they better not do that stunt again. Anyway. So, yes, the Cage was the hero and the villain at the same time. Now, let's see. There's something else that I'm going to talk about that I don't think you guys will ever hear out of my heard out of my mouth. Miz is damn entertaining when he's got a niche. What? Ethan, Shane, what do you think of Hollywood Miz and his stunt double?
Well, at least they found something for Sandow to do.
Shane?
Yeah, I was getting so sick and tired of seeing him come dressed out as friggin' like Brett Sandman and friggin' all that crap. It's like, oh god. But yeah, I find it entertaining, and we got the return of Arrogant Miz, so welcome back to the real world, Miz. Just so.
No, that's pretty much it. And this feud with Ziggler is actually getting even more entertaining because Ziggler is showing off in a more Jericho-esque style. Jericho was doing Photoshops on the Jumbotron before Photoshop was a thing.
Yes! Oh, God!
Oh, yeah.
So Ziggler decided to do his own version with all these ones with Miz, with, what was it, the makeup mud, shaving his chest, and somebody spray tanning his ass.
The stunt double earning his money. Good God.
Was he the one taking the pictures? Or was it the last one, I think, was JBL, but
there's a joke in there. It was Sandow tanning Mrs. R. Like, ooh.
But it gets better. And if you haven't seen SmackDown, just go look up the stunt doubles match.
Oh, God!
Just for...
yes. Yeah.
Just before R-Truth being dressed as Ziggler and JBL acting like he can't tell the difference.
Jesus.
Yeah, JBL, how can you tell the difference? I'm like, he's taller? I don't know. I mean, right?
Well, at least, you know, Sandow's got a beard. Miz doesn't. We can tell them apart, but it's Ziggler and, what do you call him? R. Ziggler. I don't know. I can't tell the difference. To be fair, they are of very similar build. And they share an equal level of agility. And there was a twin magic joke in there to the point they actually got the ref. So, yes, I have killed Jason. Trust me, watch this match. Watch it twice because you've probably missed something while you're laughing your ass off watching it. That's the kind of doofus I need on my show. Let's see. Getting back to Jericho. Even though he seemed okay, he still had some supposed minor issues with his knee when he got done with his match with Wyatt. Apparently, Orton was bored and jumped him backstage because it's the season premiere.
And I liked that. That was good.
I don't know. I just I thought he was channeling somebody else when he did that. And I said, I just thought to myself, you didn't do it quite as well.
I will screw up the entire pay-per-view!
So, but that's okay. Oh, did my Uncle Paul do something on this show? Oh, yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Oh, yes, he did. He got in a mic duel with John Cena and almost lost. Did I lose everybody else?
Oh, no. I don't know. With that one, I don't know. It kind of looked to me like your Uncle Paul crapped himself at the end, where John Cena said, well, I'm coming here to fight next week. If Brock Lesnar's not here, well, I'm going to beat your ass. It's like, oh, dear.
No, no, don't beat up my dear Uncle Paul. He looks horrible in that tracksuit.
But this was actually, if not one of the best, if not the best, one of the best promos Cena has ever done. Period. End of story.
It was good stuff from both of them. The fact that Uncle Paul was essentially doing a Sean O'Hare and telling Cena, you want to beat Lesnar? Then we need to see that. We need to see that monster. We need to see that evil side of you. Get rid of the wristbands. Get rid of the t-shirts. Turn away from those kids. Pay attention to wrestling a match and you might have a shot. And Cena just looked him square in the eye and said, shut up. I should be offended that he told my dear Uncle Paul to shut up, because that's hard to make him do. But then when you tell him that he's going to get beat up if he doesn't bring his pet monster along, yeah, that'll shut you up real quick. Down my list here. Ah, yes. Even though, how many of you guys here watches NXT on a regular basis?
I do.
Unfortunately, I have not.
I catch the highlights.
I know it is a must watch for me, but I just haven't been able to.
It's okay, because they were so kind as to bring some of their best to Raw this past Monday as part of their season premiere, and of course as a shameless plug for their live takeover on Thursday.
And boy, it was shameless, and God, it was beautiful.
To which the evil doc said, hey, you know, I'm willing, you know, this is what we're doing, and this is the future, and I know you guys want it sooner than later. So we get to see Tyler Breeze, Tyson Kidd, Sami Zayn, and Adrian Neville steal the entire bloody show.
Did they ever? Good God. If you look at the camera angle on some of the look on the fans' faces, they're like, holy crap, this is high-paced wrestling. We have not seen this. What is this?
Exactly. Just the crispness you saw out of these four in this tag match is something you don't see much, you don't see on the regular show very often. And of course, okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, would I be going out on a limb here if I said that Adrian Neville was probably the best high flyer, like, in the last 10 years? Would that be out of line?
No, but I can tell you who can give him a run for his money, and I would pay a lot of money to watch this match. And that'd be him and Kalisto.
Oh, God, yes. But yeah. He's too busy doing lucha, lucha. Anyways.
No, they gave him a good place. They've put him with Sin Cara as a tag team, which will be very functional with NXT and with TakeOver. They are now the NXT Tag Team Champions. Kalisto probably gets one of the belts as, holy shit, you're good, thank you. And Hudakara for, thank you for being such a good sport.
Indeed. This is actually one of the better tag teams that actually makes sense. But whereas you see other ones like Brodus Clay and Tensai back in the day, it's like, good God, why? It doesn't make sense. But
well,
that's it. I was just saying, yeah. But you get that.
Yeah. If anything, though, It's one of two things. First of all, you get a great tag team with the tag team titles after the Ascension holding them for almost a year which might mean Connor and Victor might be on our TV screen sooner than later.
Yeah, I think everyone's just waiting for that match of the Ascension versus the Wyatts. Just be like, two creepy bastard teams. Yes!
But how beautiful was that red arrow on Raw Monday? my dad, Mr. B, who, by the way, is celebrating his 81st birthday on Monday, saw the
happy
red
birthday,
arrow.
You old bastard.
Yeah, exactly. He saw the red arrow and was like, who is this guy? He was like, he does the turns and he flips this. You know, it's beautiful to hear him describe that.
And it's just as beautiful to watch. And see, once the Ascension come up, we have another good power tag team that will size up against, yeah, the Wyatts. If the world's largest tag team stays together. The Dusts are a little bit of both. And the Usos are more speed than power. So yeah. Come on up. Let's get the Ascension up there.
Because I think that's the only one that's going to come up on a permanent basis now, I think, after Thursday. But we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. What else do I need to talk about? Oh. Who's the bunny? We gotta know who the bunny is.
Yeah, who the hell is the bunny?
Oh, good God. Okay, I kid you not, I had one of my friends text me and goes, dude, that bunny is Shawn Michaels. I'm like, for the love of God, no.
Granted, that was a very good super kick. But
it's like, he was doing too many Shawn Michaels mannerisms. It has to be Shawn Michaels. I'm like, I don't think so.
The bunny's too tall.
Yes, but, okay, we know who it might be now, but we know who they want it to be later, eventually.
Yeah. Okay. What a shit place to put him. I'm sorry, but what a shit place to put him.
They want to put Darren Young as the bunny.
I wanted to be Zack Ryder.
Yes!
Yes, but that's been disproven, unfortunately.
That's true, because Zack's been on TV, but that doesn't mean he wouldn't work twice.
No, I mean, it's been disproven on the JBL and Cole show.
Boo!
And that, you know, big cacophony of duplicity.
I will sum up my feelings on that. Whoops. It helps if I actually have the volume up, huh? Let's try that again. Boo! There we go. So, we know it's not Zack Ryder. I was pretty sure Justin Gabriel. Darren Young made sense if this thing was attacking Titus O'Neil on a regular basis. Then again, attacking Heath Slater, it could be anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Heath Slater goes out of his way to make himself punchable and kickable.
Because he's a doofus, that's why.
He's a very good doofus. He's very good at what he does. And sell like a maniac and job to the stars.
At least they're doing what we were hoping they would do eventually, which is give the bunny a bump.
And, you know, if they decide that at the end it's going to be Darren Young, okay. But I think, you know, I really kind of wish they were going to stick with Zach on that one. Because, I'm sorry, that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, you can't give it to Darren Young, especially when you've got Vince McMahon, who was like, you know, pretty much putting a rocket ship up that guy's ass before he got injured. because he was like the first professional wrestler to come out in this modern era and announce that he's gay, and he got the whole WWE 2K15 spot straight away and everything else, and then he got injured. It's like, oh shit.
And I honestly thought they were going to do something with him after the announcement and retraction with Michael Sam.
If I may just interject very quickly, Shane, I don't know if Rocket Ship up his ass greatest reference to use. Just saying.
I think Jim's saying to you, Shane.
How can you be so insensitive?
Well, okay, seriously, Jim, I didn't think about it that way, but now that you say it, it's like, oh, dear.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, I just... you left one out over the middle, you gave me a fastball down the middle, brother, I'm telling you.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news, Nikki Hayman might be at the show next week because she'll be seeing sponsors. Thank you and good night.
We have sponsors? How come I'm not getting paid? I'm going to the back, why am I not getting paid?
We sent to the plushie. Okay. You notice that I'm dodging around what is supposed to be the big deal this week, and that was Jerry Springer.
Can we just put that in the facepalm pile and move on?
I have already committed my head desk. I don't want another concussion.
Let's put it this way. My DVR got some exercise that night.
An exercise in futility.
Oh, no. I gave myself enough... No, I didn't give myself enough lead. I ended up having to watch a couple of minutes of it. But I guess I did finally find my upside to being addicted to supercards. Anyway,
Here's the thing, though. Okay, that right there is why the people aren't taking the Divas division seriously. That right there is the perfect example of it. Because it's like, really? These are supposed to be professional wrestlers, and we're doing a friggin' Jerry Springer segment.
And like, it's for the Pretty Pretty Princess belt, of all things.
And they're throwing a pretty, pretty princess in the middle of the stalker angle. As Nikki Bella has been added to the title mix. Which is okay, but it's more fun watching Jay and Paige crazy each other.
And outdo each other and do each other's moves and very funny stuff, I might add.
Funny and creepy at the same time, and that's what makes it kind of cool.
See, that's why I'm partially pissed about, just due to the fact that Nikki Bella's been added to this match when she did not need to be.
And AJ had a valid point. What did she do for it besides kiss Stephanie's ass? Oh, never mind. I think I just answered my own question.
Good for you, Nikki. What a sport out there.
Oh, I know, but trust me, you'd have all the number threes buzzing, seriously. It'd be like, why has Nikki Bella been added to this match? We'll tell you why, because she's screwing the company, man. Jesus Christ. Like,
ooh, whoa. You went there, didn't you?
Hey, I'm just stating the obvious fact that all these stupid number threes are gonna friggin' bring up. But fact is, like her or hate her, Nikki Bella has actually worked her ass off and gotten much better in the ring, back from what she was friggin' years ago. I mean, she's actually got a finishing move that is actually the most devastating move in the Divas division today. besides the, what's she called that? The DDT that she uses? The inverted DDT Paige uses? I can't remember it.
Paige Turner.
No, not Paige Turner, no. It's going to come to me eventually.
I'll find it.
Well, you know, it's all well and good that she got better in the ring, but she still can't act worth a damn.
Neither of the Bellas can. Come on now. I mean, I just watched a bloody interview where apparently they're supposed to be arguing with each other. I'm like, oh, Jesus, you can call bullshit right now.
But
I guess that's unfortunately what they've got to deal with. Like, that's what I'm saying. I think that's why no one's buying it. No one really gives a crap about this whole Nikki Bella and Brie Bella storyline, because it's like, these two can't act worth a crap, so the storyline pretty much goes nowhere.
And by the way, the move you're thinking of is called the Rampage.
Rampage, that's it, thank you.
And as for the number threes, they're kind of ignoring that because they were given something else to chew on, and surprisingly the internet is still intact. When
I can't wait to hear this.
When the evil boss Dr. Levescu says, "You want a selfie? Let me give you a selfie."
Oh dear God! Holy yeah! Whoa!
So what does he do? He selfies with freaking Devitt, Steen, and Kenta. Take that!
Doofenshmirtz.
Oh, and just to piss them off even more, makes them put up the click sign.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
I swear to God, I don't want to shake Hunter's hand the next time I see him. I just want to give him a great big hug and say, "You are an asshole, and you are an awesome asshole at that."
Yes, I admit it. I'm an asshole. Yes,
in his own words.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
And that's just fantastic.
You know, the funny thing is that, and I'm sorry if we're dominating the conversation, Nikki, but he knows the internet, and he is a fucking troll. He is
And I love it. And I love it. I love
yes,
it. I love it.
I love it. He is so evil. It's so humorful, and I love it.
I'm still reeling from that promo that he did in the ring, where it's just like, I would have loved to be in a number three's house at that point when he's standing in the ring and going, "I'm going to go on Twitter with my friend Mark, and I'm going to talk about all this and threaten and abuse people." I'm just like, oh, Jesus.
Jim, take a note. If you can find that video again, I need a couple of pieces out of that promo because it was epic. Epic.
Oh dear, good grief.
The only thing that is gonna top this, that would top the screenshot photo right now, is Triple H coming out on NXT, bringing those three men to the ring, and then reenacting the Madison Square Garden. Everyone's just gonna be like, "You asshole." It's like, yeah.
I would be cheering in my living room. I don't care.
WWE, I'm giving you free ideas.
Yes, and let me just tell you something. Honestly, all joking aside here, he is trolling the internet, and he knows he's trolling the internet, and he knows he's pushing the buttons because he's 43 years old, not 70 like Vince is. You know, what's this newfangled internet stuff? No way. It's like, how can we do the number threes today? Watch this. Boom. Twitter. Right?
He's just, yeah, he's like, ooh, is that what they're complaining about? Watch this. They'll complain about this for a couple of days. And then he sits there and watches the smoke pour out of his computer.
Yeah. From all the people who are like, oh my god, yeah, because...
Hey, Sean, watch this. Oh my god, hot dogs!
Holy cow, I mean, the next year in the WWE is going to be so insane when you have people like Kenta, like Prince Devitt, like Steen fighting on NXT, and the bandwidth is going to go through the effing roof. Oh my god. Seriously.
And for the record, NXT TakeOver was so good, I was popping for the damn ref.
Oh yeah, why don't we go into that? Because that was the best show of the week. Sorry. It was.
Well, okay, first of all, I gotta give props to how they did the intro, where they essentially, since it was called TakeOver, they literally did interrupt the feed intro, which was awesome. We got the tag title switch that I mentioned earlier with Kalisto and Sin Cara beating the Ascension. They announced themselves as the team known as the Lucha Dragons, which the whole house was into. And of course, you can also buy their new Lucha Dragons t-shirt, which is this lovely neon yellow.
And I'm sure everyone was chanting, Lucha Dragon!
No, they were chanting, Lucha, 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 which is their really good chant.
Which is what they've been doing. Now, if you really want a good NXT shirt, buy the Vaude Villains retro shirt.
Let me see if I can pull it up while you guys are talking about
it. No, I'll get it. Let me get it. I can get it to you real quick. Because this is a pretty shirt. This is a pretty sepia-toned shirt that looks like an old-timey carnival ad. And it is perfect.
Oh, that's nice.
I'll take 10. It's perfect.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah, we do things the old-fashioned way. O-L-D-E. Yes.
The old-E.
And just for joking, at the bottom it says a B... Saxon promotion.
There's a little rib for you.
Byron Saxon finally got a shirt. Anyway, the other shirt that was released was one for Charlotte that is actually a tribute to one of Ric Flair's earlier shirts. One of Ric Flair's NWA shirts.
No way, really?
And I wish I could find that picture. Well, okay.
I'll look for it.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, here is Charlotte's shirt. And here is the shirt it's based on.
Okay, Jim, you talked about what I said, rocket ship up the ass thing being a bit, how you going? Imagine wearing this shirt! If you're gonna do it with flair. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. Well.
Well, okay, now, mind you, these pictures are courtesy of the freaking awesome network boards, and the best question on the board was, which flair are they trying to get laid?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well,
but
well,
I strayed from
be,
the top
well,
from well, the topic.
I was gonna say they can't be talking about Rick.
It can't be. It can't be Rick.
Whitey.
Come on, man.
What? Well, I'm just saying it can't be Rick because obviously he's been screwed over by his ex-wives too many times. But anyways,
yeah.
Yeah. Moving along.
Moving on. Through the course of TakeOver, they talked to each one of the four in the Fatal 4-Way. And there's been some little touches with Neville that I think we're going to end up with a bad guy. And I think that's going to be a good thing. Because that means Neville and Zane can go beat each other up. Ethan, is that shut up and take my $9.99?
Oh yeah, you can take my $9.99. You can take all of my $9.99.
So we had all that. Well, you know, we've already talked about, we've touched on one of the big debuts, the one that they advertised, which was Kenta. Or I'm sorry, let me do this right.
It's time once again for a trip to the WWE Random Name Generator. Here's Nikki Hale.
So anyway, this is... Oh, good Lord, stop. Anyway. Kenta is brought to the ring so that he could be formally welcomed. And he spoke first in Japanese, but then explained himself as the generator started to spin. As Kenta himself said that he called his time in WWE a brand new beginning, so that it would be best that he did it under a new name, Hideo Itami. He claimed that it's based on a hero of his. So, no more Kojima.
I'm saying Kojima. Has to be Kojima-san.
Ethan, you were joking Hideo Nomo before the show.
Yeah, don't be surprised, though.
Shane, any guesses?
I had one, but I highly doubt it would be this one, because I don't even think Kenta would have been born when Thomas Mann was around, which was Hideo Fujimoto, who was a former Japanese wrestler that competed in the 1968 and 1972 Summer Olympics.
Could be. You know what? That could be.
There's another one. No, that's cool. I, you know, the only other Hideos I would come up with are Seiyu or voice actors, so that's not going to... I doubt that's going to fall in place. Since they weren't going to have Kenta actually work a match, they let him fend off a very pissed off, no longer tag team champion Ascension by not only getting them out of the, by kicking, literally kicking them out of the ring, but getting a chair and having a seat and saying, come on. So for anybody who didn't realize how badass this guy is, Shane, that was a perfect demonstration.
Oh, definitely. What a great way to bring in someone, then have him dominate your top tag team that's been dominating the scene for a whole year and do it single-handedly.
And Ethan, what did you think? Did you get to see this?
Unfortunately, I was not able to see it.
Go look it up. Watch it twice. Jason, I know you were bouncing when you saw this.
I was. This was a very, very, very strong way to debut one of the world's greatest wrestlers. And if you notice, there were a couple of CM Punk and GTS chants in there. I got a question for you. Do you think, and I ask this, that he will use the GTS or they will ask him to do another finisher?
They will probably find him another finisher because it is too soon after Punk's departure.
Okay.
Excuse me?
I'm sure he has something in his repertoire that is really good.
I'm sure we could find something else that's just as nasty.
Yeah, but here's the thing with WWE. I don't think they care. I mean, did anyone else see them drop Punk's prices? Jesus. I felt sorry for the man when I saw that. I'm like, wow, that's a bit of a slap in the face.
Oh yes, that's true. From the Punk legal file, WWE is just making a little bit of room in the warehouse and just bargain basemented all of Punk's merch. Now, personally, I think it's standard procedure that WWE usually deep discounts merch for a wrestler that no longer works for them. But then Shane, do you guys think that this is a great big middle finger in Punk's direction?
I think it's a big middle finger to him, and I remember I was discussing this with Jason and Jim, this all started over Punk being upset because he was put in the WWE 15 game, but he wasn't getting his royalties that he felt he deserved. And as I said, if this delays the freaking game, I'm going to, like, literally flip my shit. I'm just going to be like, hmm. Because I put good money on that, damn it.
When it's in now,
to be fair, I am looking up some other people who have just recently been released, specifically a certain export from Mexico.
Yes.
And his stuff is starting to be discounted as well. Like, he only has four things in the shop, but one of them is deeply discounted.
That's the same thing that happened with Punk, so... The Alberto Del Rio thing, I think, is standard procedure. I think the Punk thing is both standard procedure and a little bit of legal maneuvering.
Probably.
And some of it is probably just, we want to get this shit out of the warehouse.
That too.
Make room for more vaudevillain shirts.
Meanwhile, ADR is still picking up extra dollars for having some actually decent cards and super. Anyway, and until they patch that, so what else happened on this show? Oh, Enzo Amore is crazy.
How you doing?
Him and Cass, what the hell? Then again, I'm a little upset that these two were in a hair match with Sylvester Laforte and Marcus Louis. And Louis, who had practically no hair on his head anyway, is the only one who gets shaved. I protest. There was more fur on Laforte than typically found on Albert.
Ew. Who, by the way, he did make that joke in the pre-show, by the way.
Oh, shoot, I missed that.
Yeah, he said he used that on my back 10 years ago. He said the nair cream, you know, because they showed that Jersey Shore beauty parlor gimmick.
Yeah, no. where supposedly they dumped a bunch of this gunk on this chick's poodle, and the hair was coming off in clumps.
Yeah, BS. No way. Okay.
That was hilarious, though.
But you did notice that when Louis lost his hair, he didn't lose his hair until off camera when they shaved his head, of course.
And they did it. They deliberately did it haphazardly and shaved his eyebrows just because.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Good God, that was ugly.
Now, for those who are disappointed in women's wrestling on Raw, at least watch NXT for the women's wrestling, because you will get to see cool stuff like Pinkie Pie, Bayley versus Charlotte.
Don't
with Diamond Tiara, Sasha Banks watching in the background.
Oh, for God's sake.
No hugs for you?
Look, Jim is muted, so I can do this.
Boss Prism Power. This is not Sailor Moon. That's not, oh, what the hell is her name? The other one. Alexa Bliss. No. Alexa... no, Alexa Bliss is Moon Prism Power Makeup, okay?
I don't know enough about Sailor Moon to make that joke, anyway.
Blame Kappa MA. Okay.
I want you on my show, damn it. Answer my emails. Anyway, but Bayley and Charlotte put on an excellent match. And you can tell that the people were engaged, even just for the Bayley's gonna hug you, Bayley's gonna hug you. I'm like, somewhere Samoa Joe is trying to find his way out of Orlando. Anyway, just wonderful, wonderful stuff. And the main event, I don't even have to talk about the main event.
What?
These four just tore the house down.
Yeah, they did.
Everything we expected and more.
Yeah, we even saw a flashback of Zayn and Cesaro with that beautiful friggin' dive from the outside of the ring, through the ropes, into a DDT.
Yes. And by the way, that...
Yeah, I call it the corner suicide DDT. Sorry, Jason?
I was about to say the four-way Tower of Doom was not bad, neither.
No.
But I have a... But we do have to talk about something from that main event. Sami Zayn was about to win the match. But then... Adrian Neville pulled... Sami Zayn out of the ring. Pulled the referee out of the ring.
Pulled the ref out of the ring.
Yes. And the crowd was pissed.
The crowd was confounded at best and pissed at worst.
Hmm.
And I skipped off of something and I apologize. I made a joke earlier that I said I was even popping for the referee. Yes, because the referee for a couple of these matches was Drake Effin Younger.
Nice.
Somebody I've worked with, great guy, poster boy for PMA. Every picture that I'd seen of him work when he was out working the last two or three years before he got picked up by the Fed, he was grinning from ear to ear, even if he was bleeding like a stuck pig. So they did, you know, and I stuck around for the post show, which they did some good stuff. They had they brought Bayley out for an interview, and she was, you know, she was all kind of choked up, and Charlotte came out and showed respect and was even willing to offer the rematch. But she had to draw the line about Bayley here.
Yes, and Bayley says, when I beat you, and Charles says, let's not get crazy here. And then interrupted by the beautiful fair demon.
Yes,
go ahead.
Yeah, and then Sasha Banks came down and, well, that added some more intrigue to it because most of her vitriol was aimed at Charlotte. And Charlotte lacked comebacks, which is strange for a gal who was raised by one of the better promo men in the business.
Pretty much.
They interviewed Enzo and Big Cass about the hair versus hair match, and they rightfully bitched about the fact that they didn't get LaForte. LaForte came back out, and why didn't we have another bucket of nair for this guy?
Yeah, exactly. Or a razor, or a big-ass scissor. Seriously.
Seriously. They got the rematch, and I thought this was the part where Big Cass grabs him, and they carry him backstage, and they dunk him in a tub full of that crap. Let's see. They also interviewed Tyson Kidd. And I forget what he was talking about, but I'm enjoying the fact that they keep punking him out by calling him Natty's husband.
Yes.
And actually, during the show, they were calling him Natty's wife.
Yes. Oh, yes. It was beautiful.
And you could almost hear the resignation in his voice when he had to plug Total Divas in a promo, because all that's doing is fanning the flames.
Yeah, he's like, do I really have to do? All right, fine. I'm good here. I'm getting plugged here. Yeah, all right, fine. You know,
fine. And at least I'm on TV. I'm in the main event of NXT. I'm going somewhere. I guess I can do shameless plug, even though it's completely against my character. They also interviewed Neville, where he felt that he was vindicated. He felt he'd proven himself, and now we start seeing the big head that this little guy is going to get. I smell a heel turn.
I do too, and you know what? Good. Bring him up, and then maybe you'll have a face Sami Zayn win the title.
Exactly. Now, what do you do when... Now we have somebody left in the crossfire here. What about Tyler Breeze?
He still can be Prince Pretty, the King of Cute, the Sultan of the Selfie, you know. Let him stay down there for a little while. But the thing is that I like the fact that the WWE and NXT are crossing over. I have a question for all of you guys then. How would you use NXT on Raw? How would you do it? Like they did Monday or something else?
I like the way that they used it on Raw, but make it an occasional invasion. That way you can tease them to watch the network to do it.
It shouldn't be every week.
No. I would like it to be at some, you know, for, you know, leading up to something where first we have the NXT guys showing off. Then maybe we get actual cross promoting in that NXT guys are facing WWE guys on WWE programming. Then you could do some really cool stuff at Survivor Series, but I'm getting ahead of myself.
Oh! I forgot to put this in the run sheet. We had a very interesting interview with a Dorkosaurus this week.
Oh, thank you. I knew I was forgetting somebody. Dorcas Maximus, aka Kurt Angle, is pretty much done with TNA. And discussed that he had something, it was getting something else lined up, that he wasn't at liberty to talk about it, and that he probably wouldn't be in the ring until January.
Here is the actual quote. I'm putting it in there for you to read.
Okay, let me get that.
Here you go. Put it in. Read it right here. There you go.
Okay. So I will give me a second to. Now I can't. I don't speak very good Dork. So I'm not even going to try to do a Kurt Angle voice. But he said, "Well, right now I'm not at liberty to say where I'm going, but I will tell you that I'm going to do the right thing for me and my family. I'm in the processing of structuring a deal, and I do have a company in mind. I haven't said yes because I want to make it a public thing with the company and myself. I can't really say who it is or where I'm going, but I can tell you it's going to happen in the next 2 weeks before my contract is even up with TNA. I won't be wrestling until January, but there will be a signing in the next couple of weeks." Dork.
Yeah. Okay.
With a capital, durr.
There's going to be a dork crashing the rumble.
You bet your ass he will.
This despite the fact that he went to the offices and the evil boss just basically said, yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
I think this is what happened. Kurt calls up Hunter. Hunter says, nah, not interested. I got guys. Kurt calls Vince. Vince listens. Hunter calls Kurt back and says, why are you talking to my father-in-law? And Kurt says, well, get Vince on the line. Let's talk about this. So we had this triple threat debate over whether or not Kurt Angle should come back to the WWE. And unfortunately, in this kind of competition, Hunter was outnumbered. Although I think a lot of strict lines are put down. If indeed it's Angle going back to the Fed, he's pretty much walking in with a strike.
Random testing.
Lots of random testing. Rehab in the meantime, if they still don't feel he's ready, because I don't think, you know, I think he could pass a physical right now. I don't know what kind of shape his knee's in of late. But if he's clean and can behave himself, he'd be a nice addition and could be the one that could either... I doubt they'd have him be the actual one to dethrone, to break Rusev's winning streak, but he could be the one that gets Swagger back on track.
Yeah, I'm thinking if he does go in, he's definitely going in a Legends extent.
Yeah, they only need him on a Legends deal. They can use him sporadically as needed. And hell, you know, if he wants to be on camera more, maybe they'll give him a GM job and let him ride around in his giant jack-in-a-box again.
I'm thinking he's going to have an RVD Lesnar-like deal. That's my deal.
Okay. Yeah. Like a sort of a part-time thing?
Yeah, where he can, you know, where he works, you know, he works a light schedule. He doesn't have to do house shows if he doesn't want to. He wouldn't be if he's in any kind of reasonable profile feud. He won't be in it for a belt. He'll be in it for as enhancement talent. See also Chris Jericho and RVD. That's what they've been doing. I can't see them doing a whole bunch more with Kurt. I mean, he's already in his early 40s. He's beat to hell. They'll be happy to tell him that he doesn't have to jump off a cage to make them happy. Actually, I would just pay for a video of him putting Swagger in the ankle lock and saying, this is how it's done!
will happen, Nikki. It will happen.
Yes. And I will pay. I will pay a lot of money to see this, because I will admit I miss that dork.
And just you watch. He gets the Legends contract. He helps Swagger break Rusev's streak, and all of a sudden we get a milk shower.
Oh, please, 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 please.
Complete with the plastic, you know, the plastic wrap, you know, protecting the locker room and all that crap.
To steal a trope, we want our dork back.
And when that music hits in January, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, isn't the January Royal Rumble, is it in Philly or Pittsburgh?
Ooh. Let me look. Live Google Foo.
It is going to be in Philly.
That's right around his. That's near his hometown. It's a couple hours away.
The roof is going to blow off of the arena.
Oh my God! It would be ten times louder in Pittsburgh.
It'll be louder there, but you're dealing with the Philly crowd. Philly crowd's going to love it.
That's true. And if the Philly crowd, that's, you know, that's a smart crowd. They respect Angle.
Even though they keep telling him that he sucks. They will
welcome him back.
Now
they'll probably, I wonder which intro that he's going to get. Does he get the "you suck" intro, or does he get the one they modified near the end of his run in 06 where they took the piece out?
They're
going to
get him the classic one.
They better, because everybody would sing. Everybody would sing. Now I want to go look up the night he came back and said, "You know what? I even miss you guys telling me I suck. Play my music."
No, I just have one question, though.
Okay.
We're all having our own little wrestling wet dream about him coming back to the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Any chance he stays with TNA?
Why would he stand on the deck of a sinking ship?
Ask that to James Storm and everyone who's re-signed with them.
They must know something that we don't, because...
Either that or they know that if they tried to go for the Fed, they won't pick him up.
Yeah,
simply because of the age factor.
Yeah, and Storm's been with that company since day one. Like, all the TNA originals would stick with it. I think AJ just left because, yeah, too much personal crap happened. So, he's like, nah, screw this. I'm not taking a pay cut and dealing with this personal crap at the same time.
So, it's just one of those things. I don't know. You know,
he had to be there.
Whoops. Damn it. Okay. Now, am I out of news?
I think so. There is one sort of sad piece of news. According to PWI, Bobby Heenan suffered a broken hip after falling at home. He's been dealing a lot with issues, with issues relating to his cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But Heenan, I'm trying to do live research to see how old he is. He's got to be in his 80s now, I think. But wish you well, Bobby. Greatest manager of all time, one of the greatest commentators of all time.
Bobby's only 69.
Really?
It's not the years, guys. It's the mileage.
Yeah, it's the mileage.
And the chemo and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Undertaker's not even 50, and he looks 80.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I read somewhere he's having way too much fun with Instagram.
Yes, he's becoming a bit of a sensation with his wife.
Who, Undertaker?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Undertaker has an Instagram account.
No, he's actually using his wife, Michelle.
Oh, good God, I have to check this. Hold on. Wow.
Yeah, the Undertaker is slowly coming out of his shell and showing himself as the doofus that he is.
Yeah, it's like, you know, wait a minute. Didn't you guys know I'm a little goofy too?
Doof man walking.
Yes.
Doof man. Very good.
Very much so. But yeah, I think that's about all I got. So, before we call it a night, I'll even start with our audio tech, if he's still here after all my pony jokes. Jim, do you have anything to promote?
I'd like to promote the 8 Bells treatment of all My Little Ponies. No, I...
Oh my! You're fired.
I am not fired. Hey, I am half of this network.
He's actually going to promote Equestria Girls.
I beg your
pardon. Hero.
The hell he is!
here I was thinking that Jim was going down Seth Rollins thing of, I didn't sell out, I bought in! I bought into my pony! But anyways.
I'm surprised Nikki got the 8 Bells reference. Good job! But if I may be serious for just a moment.
Thank you.
I can't. Who am I kidding? We are in pendant chase mode with Touch 'Em All. Lots of great stuff on there. Listen, all throughout the month of September, we have a podcast up every week. Hopefully, by the time you hear this, it's actually up on the website. Real life, I know everything, Carl, but come on, it's Friday. So be listening. Be listening, my friends. And what else? Oh, yeah, facebook.com/touchemall. Check out the link to a story I have about Vladimir Guerrero's son, Vlad Jr. He's quite the impaler in his own right. He knows how to hit the ball real far. And he's only 15.
I want to hit the ball, bleh.
That's not Vlad the Impaler. He's
the... I do not call bleh, but bleh.
Not sure.
Blah, 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 blah.
Not sure if that was Count Dracula, Count Chocula, or... Yeah. Thank you.
That was Adam Sandler from friggin' Hotel Transylvania, dammit.
Ah, there you go. Habadoobie, ha? Adam Sandler in every movie he ever did. Habadoobie.
Okay, Ethan, you have anything to promote?
Yes,
well, Red State, Blue State, someday, somehow, in the near future, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
And
if all goes well, we will be live counting the votes in Scotland and seeing if the Scottish moles become their own.
Let's see. Jason, you usually have a laundry list.
I will. And Jim, you forgot about the two. Not one, but two. BS Big Show shows we did this week.
No, of course I did, because there really wasn't anything football related on the field to talk about.
Unfortunately, yeah, I know. All of it was like Ray Rice.
That's the interesting part. I'm just going to say it's the NFL police blotter.
Yes, yeah, it's the National Felony League, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, the National Felony League, and good God, we could give names. The most recent ad, Adrian Peterson, who is now a child abuser. Nice job. Idiot. Okay.
And people wonder why I didn't take him in any of my fantasy leagues. That's not why, but hey, I'm feeling better now. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All seriousness, we did talk week one. Brian and I are going to do another episode of Pixel Nation. WLTI is doing some print stuff because new shows debuted this week, Let's Ask America and Terry Crews' Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. This week we have the season premieres of Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, and the September 22nd.
And our long national nightmare is over.
What do you mean? Yes, the mustache is back.
The mustache is back. Yes.
I don't know if you knew about this, Nikki. Trebek grew his mustache back.
Oh no, I knew about that.
I must ask you a question. Actually, I must ask you an answer, and you must give me your answer in the form of a question, and you'll win duelers.
Yes, exactly. And September 22nd is season 6 of Let's Make a Deal, and season 43 of The Price is Right, with the re-debut of a game called Time is Money, which we found out about today.
And don't forget Ding Dong, who's that at the door?
Oh, yes, that's right. It's Secretariat. Actually, it's Craig Ferguson with the Celebrity Name Game. So that we'll be talking about as well.
Woohoo,
so,
Cheeky Monkeys.
Cheeky monkeys, indeed. Nikki, back to you, I think.
Okay. I do actually have a couple of things to promote. First of all, on behalf of Chris Waters, a side project that I'm doing with him, which is called Paper Review. We are going back way, way back and checking out wrestling extravaganzas from the mid-80s, before Hulkamania was a national or international thing. Our most recent paper review, we covered the first three Saturday night's main events. And my brain still hurts. I got to see Elmer's wedding.
Oh, God.
I got to see Rowdy Roddy Piper try to trick some trick-or-treaters who tricked him back.
That must have been funny.
Chocolate-covered habaneros, that's all I have to say.
Oh, boy.
Just from wonderful stuff that is the perfect balance of wrestling and doofus that you cannot get in a 3-hour program. So if you're looking for this, it is tindeck.com/users/CMWaters. He's supposed to get a bunch of these uploaded. We have done the first two Starcades, the original WrestleMania, and as I said, 3 of the Saturday night's main events. We will probably be recording another episode in the coming days. And even though this is not a show about sports, if you need something really cool to read, you need to go to Grantland and look up the Goodell Must Go Bag, where the guy's name just flew out of my head.
Bill Simmons, I think.
Bill Simmons has done 2 different articles about Goodell, but the second one is where he actually goes to his mailbag and he says he cannot find a single person who will back Roger Goodell. And he got some very interesting questions and he has some very awesome answers.
Grantland Bill Simmons is best Bill Simmons.
Yes.
ESPN on TV NBA analyst Bill Simmons is worst Bill Simmons by comparison.
So yes, read these articles. They might not get you the whole story about all the bullshit that's going on otherwise, but he has a great take on it. So that's going to do it for me. And for that, for Jason Block, for Shane Beeman, for Ethan Muslin, for Jim Williams, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on behalf of the Freakin' Awesome Network. WrestleChat.net, CLW83.com, Stitcher Radio, and a few other places like that. But till then.